Welcome back to Weekly Winners. Today is September 6th. It is a Monday, and it being a Monday, of course, we're going to start with our winners of the week. And mine, I'm going with Kirby Smart, head coach of Georgia. Just a dominant, you know, college football, gritty defensive performance from his team, holding Clemson to 3 points, beating them out 10-3. Was it 0-0 at halftime? Was it 3-0?
I think it was 3-0.
But just we saw a lot of defensive games in the spotlight. One we didn't like too much with Wisconsin losing to Penn State, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Kirby Smart, just they're on track now. As long as Georgia can, you know, kind of hold the line in that SEC, they are in a position to do pretty well.
Right, and that's the thing. They can even drop one to Bama now, and yeah. I think they can still get in, depending, obviously, how the rest of the season goes. Mm-hmm. But I think if they end the year with one loss and it's to Bama, I still think they probably get the nod because of that game.
Yeah, you'd have to think so.
Speaking of Alabama, my winner of the week is their quarterback, Bryce Young, 27 of 38 for 344 and 4 TDs. Stat line really doesn't matter. It's a Bama quarterback. Right. He has all the weapons in the world. I mean, but what really impressed me was just how much raw talent was there. I mean, throwing dimes on the run, you know, evading sacks. It just kind of seemed like he was, gave me like that Kyler Murray feel. Like,
it looked effortless.
Right.
He looks so good out there.
And that's the thing. Like, yeah, the stats, I mean, that's a heck of a line, but it doesn't really matter when you're playing for Alabama. To me, it was just more the raw talent that I saw.
Yeah, it's kind of flipping the script on, you know. We kind of talked about it while watching the games. Bama used to have every position except quarterback. They would just have a quarterback who could do enough, and that is just not the case anymore.
Right, there was a time in which A.J. McCarron was one of the best quarterbacks to come out of Alabama.
Right, and it was enough. You just didn't need really, you know, that supreme talent because you're going to have the best offensive line and give it to the best running back and just dominate that way. But
right.
So, yeah, we got those are our winners of the week. Kind of talk about the rest of college football. Obviously, the, you know, Clemson losing to Georgia is kind of your big headline up top. Our Wisconsin Badgers dropping game one to Penn State. And, I mean, as a Badger fan, you hold out hope that if they win out and win the Big Ten, which, of course, every year includes having to beat Ohio State, that's your path to, you know, making the Final Four, making the playoff. And every year, there's one loss that's not to Ohio State that kind of derails you from that path, because you can, you know, either lose to Ohio State in the regular season and then beat them in, you know, the Big Ten championship, or vice versa and go 1-1 with them and still make it if Ohio State is, you know, still that dominant. If you can show you're right on par with them, you can still, you know, squeak your way into that playoff, you would think.
Right.
But there's one loss that's kind of, that derails that every year. And it's basically just waiting for that loss. And if you lose to Illinois one year, or, you know, just whoever it is, to Minnesota even. And this, we just got it out of the way week one this year.
Yeah. And like you said, not only do you have to beat Ohio State, but you most likely have to beat them twice.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, Ohio State, like, they've been in the conversation now the last few years, but they have, as good as Alabama looked, they have national championship talent this year.
Right. But yeah, I mean, like you said, the Georgia Clemson game was kind of the big headline. A game that kind of surprised me. And if the Badgers weren't playing, I was going to flip over to that game because Tulane got up on number two Oklahoma early. They were up like 14-7. By halftime, it was 34-14 right. Oklahoma.
And then
by the final, Oklahoma only won 40-35. Mm-hmm. Like, that must have been just an incredible game to watch. That they were the only, like, top 10 team that really kind of had a scare.
For sure.
I mean, Iowa State won 16-10 versus NIU, but...
That's just surviving, yeah. Right. But at that rank, that's going to hurt them. Even right. though it is a win. Can I go over my bets from the day? I went 0-3 in week 0, so I was looking to kind of bounce back from that. So I bet Wisconsin minus 5.5. Really thought they're going to be good this year. So that didn't go. I went with same game parlays in the big ones. And I kind of was right on it, kind of was on it with both of them, but neither cash. I go Alabama at Miami. I go Alabama minus 19 over 61.5. I'm like, Alabama's going to blow them out, but Miami's good enough that once, you know, some backups get in for Alabama, you know, they'll put up 14 or 21 points. And that's kind of what happened, but it was just not enough for both teams. Like, one more, like, there's 3 points scored in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Like, it just needed one more score to happen. And I was cashing that parlay, but alas, it did not. And with Clemson, Georgia, I kind of thought, you know, lower scoring, it's going to be a defensive battle. So I went under 51, but I also kind of thought it would go the other way. Thought maybe we're looking at like a 10-0 or 10-3 the other way, you know, 14-10 Clemson to win. So I went Clemson minus 3. So, you know, wrong team on that one. So neither of those cash. I did cash Texas A&M minus 29 versus Kent State. It's kind of like the Texas A&M team this year. You know, they're going to compete in the SEC. Not only do you need to win those big matchups, but you need to blow the other teams that you play out. Like, you cannot have a week off where, you know, you beat a team by 10. You have to beat every team by 40. Right. So that's what they did. I went Arizona plus 12.5 versus BYU. Although I don't really believe in them in the NFL, Zach Wilson was clearly a very talented college quarterback. And so I think BYU had has a bit of a fall off losing him. And they won, but Arizona did keep it close. So that cashed as well. And then, so I kind of looked at my card and saw I was 2-3. So I did what every responsible gambler does. And I bet two lines on the Hawaii game. I bet Portland State plus 25.5. And then under 57, I thought they would kind of keep it close. Hawaii didn't really impress me in week 0. So Portland State did keep it close enough for the one to cash, but it was very high scoring. So it went over 57. So I went 1-1 with those. So 3-4 total, which kind of brought me to minus a unit sum, minus 1.26. So I'm 3-7 minus like a little over 4 units. Not great start, but that's what I said. That's how college football goes for me. It's so hard to bet on.
Yeah, so I picked the same line in the Badger game as you. Yeah. Was fully gonna, after the Badger game, actually go and look for other picks. Well, then, you know, the Bama game comes on and I'm watching that and I just completely forget about making any other picks. So I am now 0-1 on the year. Or my Badgers couldn't pull through for me.
Yeah, we had several moments just even watching the Wisconsin versus Penn State game. It's like, this is what makes it so hard to bet on is these college kids, man. Like the simple mistakes that are made consistently. Like the same guy from Penn State going down on punt recovery and just blasting the Wisconsin guy after a fair catch 2 consecutive times. It's giving him 15 yards. And then Wisconsin just like giving up 3 identical plays where the safety just like bites up hard on like a slant route and there's just no one over the top. And then Wisconsin does get it down to like down to the red zone and they just drop the mesh and Graham Mertz tries to hero ball it and scoop and score and like kicks it around a bit. Like just college mistakes that you just don't see really on the NFL level.
Yeah, I mean, there was what, 4 handoffs where there was issues.
It was bad. At first we thought it was like, oh, did like, you know, you had the Clemson transfer. It's like, obviously he should have had plenty of time to work on the match. But then with other running backs, it was happening too. So, like,
yeah.
I don't really know what the issue is there. But yeah, it's kind of like, I'll still watch those Badger games, but it's weird. Season's kind of over. Like,
right.
You're just a fringe program where you're not really consistently competing for a national championship, but you're good enough for every year that you can hope that this is the year that you can do it. But you can't really be, I guess, like, what do you root for now? Just a Big Ten championship? Rose Bowl, maybe?
Right. Even though last year they kind of set the precedence by, because the Rose Bowl always used to be the best Big Ten team, unless the best Big Ten team is in the playoff,
right?
Versus the best Pac-12 team. Mm-hmm. But last year that didn't happen.
So. I mean, last year was weird. We could, yeah, I could go right back for sure, but
because yeah, I think that was like the first year ever a Big Ten team wasn't yeah, in it. Weird.
Now you get your like quintessential Rose Bowl. It's like Wisconsin, Oregon,
right?
Which I mean, it'd be fun, but it's not a playoff.
And even, I mean, the Rose Bowl, how many years in a row did we get our heart broken there? No kidding, it's like, yeah, four in a row. Like,
it was, I will say, it was very cool. Like, the announcers were getting into it. I didn't notice it at first. I look up and they're kind of just like panning over the student section. I'm like, just kind of like a weird silence going on. And I'm like, oh, they're about to do jump around for the first time in like 2 years. And that was very cool to see. Everyone there went crazy, but yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of our college football. Great week. A lot of good matchups for week one of college football.
There's five games involving two ranked teams. Yeah. And even the ranked teams that played, you know, unranked teams, those games were good too. A lot of one-score games, mm-hmm, that we didn't expect, like Oregon and Fresno State. Yeah. Like, but yeah, it was a very good weekend.
Yeah, well, we'll go over like how the rankings kind of shake up once that's out. But I mean, next episode on Thursday, it's going to be the first NFL show. Like, we've been talking a lot of NFL. Like, we'll have our lines, we'll have our picks. So this is kind of our last treading water show. Last episode, we gave you kind of 10 units apiece, which over-unders and conference winners do we like. This year, we just each picked 5 bets for player props that we're going to put our money on for this season. So let's get into those. My first one, I like Christian McCaffrey as comeback player of the year. Dak is the favorite at +250, CMC's +700, and Joe Burrow is also +700. Dak just with like shoulder injury, and that ankle injury was so brutal. Like, it's looking like he's ready to play week one, but I could just see things going poorly. Like, how do you even if he is 100% physically okay, like, after, you know, it didn't even look that bad when it happened. Like, just seemed like a very routine play. All of a sudden, his ankle was just sideways. Like, how do you just trust yourself to, like, do that, the same moves and go for the same, like, take off and run again? Like, that can affect players as well. So, obviously, I'm not going to hold bad on these other guys, like Burrow and Dak. But I think if CMC, you know, he's going to – he is that Panthers offense. Like, right, if he goes out, you know, gets 1,400 rush yards and 600 receiving yards and crazy amount of touchdowns, like, he's just going to get it, I got a feeling. So +700 is – that's a number I really like for comeback player of the year there. Granted, he's not a quarterback. So if Dak comes out and throws for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns, I'll probably get it.
But all right.
I just don't think – Burrow, I think, play – like, it's weird giving a comeback player to – a second-year player, kind of. Like, what's he coming back to? Like, yeah, he looked good, but, like, I don't know how much of a comeback that is. And maybe that's a miss by me, like, thinking that they wouldn't give it to him, but.
Yeah. So the first player prop of the year I'm liking is Damian Harris over 900.5 rush yards. It's -115. I liked this before the Michelle trade when it was like 860 or something, or 850.
Yeah.
I just feel like with with the Michelle trade and now Mac Jones, you know, they're running with Mac, and I feel like he's going to have a long leash.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he won't get pulled the first, second, even third mistake he makes.
No.
But just with the rookie QB, Sony Michel gone, James White is still there, but really only passing third down. Yeah, I think that's an easy lock for me.
We'll have a lot of opportunities.
Right.
I'm going, and this is a line, I just don't see how, like, you just don't bet it. It's Aaron Donald, Defensive Player of the Year, plus 450. Like, it's such a good number for a guy who's won it before. And the biggest, he's the leader, but plus 450 for, you know, the best odds you can get there. His biggest competition is Myles Garrett at plus 600. One, don't think the NFL is going to forget what Myles Garrett did to Mason Rudolph. Like, it shouldn't affect, you know, his chances to win Defensive Player of the Year, that he's, you know, had those incidents in the past. Probably not, but is that someone they want to, like, it won't help them, that's for sure. And the thing about Donald at this point is, because he's an interior player and he gets sacks at the level that he does, and he has so much, there's so much respect for him now as a defensive player, is the amount of stats that he has to put up to win Defensive Player of the Year are actually not that high. Like, if he puts up 10 sacks, which is, you know, pretty pedestrian for Aaron Donald, and that Rams defense is top tier like people think it's going to be, he's in a position where he can get a Stephon Gilmore type Defensive Player of the Year, where it's just, hey, this defense was really good, and he's a really big reason why.
Right.
Where Myles Garrett isn't in that same spot. But because he's an exterior, you know, he comes off the edge, he's more expected to get sacks at a higher volume. So even if the Browns do have a very elite defense, he can't win Defensive Player of the Year by only putting up like 8 sacks. Whereas I think Aaron Donald has more of a bid as like the heart and soul of top one, top two defense to get the award. So plus 450, that just feels like good value. Like, he's the favorite to get it. I think he should be more of a favorite than he is.
Yeah, that's fair. So I am going with, I'm locking Tom Brady in as most passing touchdowns.
Okay.
Plus 450. I just think that offense has so many weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, adding Giovanni Bernard as your third down back, great pass catching back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have three wide receivers that would potentially, I mean, like it or not, when Antonio Brown started playing for them, he was putting up numbers that could potentially be a number one wideout on some lower end offenses.
Despite the last couple of years, Antonio Brown is still the best wide receiver of the 2010s.
Right. And you have three wideouts that could potentially be a number one on a lot of teams. I just think, I don't know. I think last year, the start of the year was just them. It was COVID year. They couldn't sit in those rooms and go over stuff together. They, you know, weren't on the practice field as much. Yeah. I think that was just knocking a lot of rust off. So, yeah, I think I like the value of plus 450 and Tom Brady, most passing touchdowns.
If he's healthy, like we kind of talked about, I think probably your biggest threat to that might be Dak.
Right.
Just because, you know, I don't really – I actually flirted with putting some Zeke lines unders on here, but his the over-unders aren't that high. I just don't think he's really set for – a great year. I have to imagine we've already seen the best of him. So I think this Cowboys offense is pass heavy.
Right.
So then you're going most pass touchdowns. I'm going most rushing touchdowns. And I'm going with Jonathan Taylor plus 800. Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry are both plus 450. Nick Chubb's plus 650. The Nick Chubb one is curious to me when you have such a big, like, number two in Kareem Hunt. Like, he's just going to get, like, some stolen from him in those situations. And then, but with Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry, both obviously outstanding backs, but those teams have other options in the red zone. Like Thielen and Jefferson for the Vikings, like both, you know, smaller, very fast guys, like just little slant routes, you know, very quick hitters, little screen passes. I think those that can potentially take away from it. Obviously, the Titans, you know, have Julio now, like AJ Brown, like they have options in the red zone as well. The Colts, it's Jonathan Taylor. Like if you're within, you know, 5 yards, I think you just run it three times with JT. And that's why I like this line at plus 800. I just think he's, you know, the red zone option for the Colts. I don't see really what else they do in those situations.
Yeah. So my next one, I'm going with, so I did most touchdowns. I'm now doing most interceptions.
Okay.
And I'm going back to someone who has won this award before.
Yeah.
Mr. Jameis Winston. I love the man, but I mean, you got the Bucs defense twice a year. Mm-hmm. They play the football team. And then a couple other like fringe, like top 10 defenses. I think he'll throw a lot of touchdowns too, but I don't know how much the – did he have LASIK?
Nope. I was going to say, you're forgetting about the LASIK.
Not sure how much that'll help. But I also think he'll have a long leash as well. I don't think the Saints really like Taysom, man in the offense. I think they like him in that role of like – that wild card.
They have to increase his role with how much they're paying him, though.
Right.
You have to see more from him, and I don't know what that really looks like.
Yeah, I don't know either, but yeah, I'm going with Jameis at plus 1,200. Mm-hmm. Most interceptions.
Good line. I believe Darnold's the favorite for that one.
Yep, plus 800.
I'm going – this line is – I might put more than a unit on this one. Aaron Rodgers – under 4,600 and a half passing yards. That's so many yards.
That is a lot of yards.
He's done that once in his career. He barely did it, and that was in 2011. Like, Aaron Rodgers is obviously a phenomenal quarterback, but, you know, the little secret that people don't really talk about is he doesn't throw the ball that many times a game. Like, he's not Big Ben throwing it out there 45 times a game last year. He's throwing, like, 20, 25 attempts every game. Like, he's not really hitting 30 very often.
Right. I mean, when you have Aaron Jones and now A.J. Dillon, like, you don't have to throw it.
At 4,600, that's like MVP level numbers, which he won last year and didn't throw 4,600 yards. So do I think he's going to throw more yards than he did last year? I really don't. I think this is a pretty easy under.
Yeah. My next one, I think, is also – an absolute lock. This one I'd maybe put more than a unit on as well. And that is Austin Eckler over 1,375 and a half rush and receiving yards. You know, obviously he got hurt last year, but through the first, I think he played like 7-8 weeks. Mm-hmm. He took up, it was like 19 or 20% of all passing targets.
It was a lot.
And, I mean, he gets 15 to 20 rushes a game. I don't really see that changing. It really seemed like Herbert was comfortable with him. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just don't see how that doesn't happen. I mean, because in any given year, there's probably, what, 4 or 5 running backs that go over that rush and receive? Yeah, I mean, of 1,375. So I just – Herbert seems comfortable with them. They really only have, like, 2 major receiving, not even threats, like Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't consider Mike Williams a major receiving threat, but
– yeah, we will see. Talked about a couple of quarterbacks that we think are good options for these bets because they'll have long leashes. They have a lot of opportunity to mess up and still, you know, keep plugging along. And Every move that I've seen the Eagles make this offseason outside of drafting a quarterback has told me Jalen Hurts will not have that long of a leash. They just traded for Minshew. Like, they've never really shown that they believe in him. I think it was the right move to give him the season and kind of see what you have. Cause it's not, I don't think what you have is nothing with Jalen Hurts, but from everything I've seen, like, this team's not that good. He's going to have bad games, and they might not let him play through to figure out those mistakes. So I was kind of just looking at any Jalen Hurts under. But the one I found that I liked the most was his rush yards. That line's at 700.5. Even if he plays all the games, that's a ton of rush yards for a quarterback. All
right.
Especially if you think if he is going to play every game, that would the necessary thing for that to happen is him getting a lot more comfortable in this offense and playing in the NFL. And when a player gets more, a quarterback specifically, gets more comfortable, he's going to be scrambling around less and, you know, setting more in the pocket and making throws. I think he did have a lot of rush yards in the games he played last year, but they're kind of panicky. They're like, there's not a whole lot going on in this offense. Like, it was out of necessity. Like, he's got to go. And if that's the offense, I feel like they probably go to Minshew or someone else. So, yeah, under 700.5 for Jalen Hurts for rush yards. I like that as a bet as well. That's my final one.
So my final one, you know, we talked about Rodgers and how he just doesn't throw the ball a ton.
Yeah.
So this one kind of seemed weird, but the more I thought about it, the more I liked it. Russell Gage over 700.5 receiving yards. Matt Ryan will throw the ball 45 times.
He sure will, yeah.
And Russell Gage is the clear number two wideout. They do have Pitts there, obviously, as well.
Right.
But with the volume of how much that Falcons offense throws the ball, I think there's room for three people to have over 700 receiving yards in that offense.
I've seen some lines on Pitts where people taking unders for his receiving yards just because, not because they don't like him, just because the numbers are so high. And traditionally, tight ends' first years aren't exactly, you know, spectacular. It takes them a little while to figure out how to get into, you know, work a tight end in your offense.
Mm-hmm.
But Falcons' current head coach used to be a tight ends coach. And the thing I would say is Kyle Pitts is more receiver than he is tight end.
Oh, 100%.
So that's what would give me pause in taking that under. I think it would make him like the fourth tight end to go over like 700 yards or 800 yards in his first year. But I think if someone's going to do it, he's going to have, you know, the volume of targets to make that happen.
Right, but they just don't have that depth. And Matt Ryan will throw for 4,500 yards. Right. He just will.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have that receiving depth.
They got to go somewhere.
I don't think Ridley and Pitts are both going over like 1,500 yards.
Say Ridley and Pitts combined for 2,000 yards, which is a lot. And it's still 2,500 yards.
Right.
Like, divvy up with Matt Ryan. Like, where does that go if not Gage?
Right. So that one just seemed low for me.
Yeah.
Also, I did have one more wild card one.
Okay.
My boy Darnell Mooney, very similar lines, 705.5. Kept it off. I don't like that Bears offense as much.
You never know how it's going to go with a new quarterback.
Right. And even if Dalton's there, you just don't know. I mean, I saw a lot of things I liked from him last year, but had to keep it off. Still in the back of my head, though.
Yeah.
Kind of want to put some money on it, but we'll see, because maybe Justin Fields, you know, is more like he's obviously a bigger guy than Lamar, but maybe he's that run first kind of, you know.
Yeah. It's just hard to take those ones where, you know, their position might be in question, even for just a couple weeks, even if, you know, Fields does find him eventually. Like, there could be like 3 weeks where he's just kind of left out of the production just because, you know, they're figuring stuff out.
Right.
So it's hard to take those lines. That's our show for today. I'm sure our episodes will be getting much longer. We'll have full breakdown of the NFL slate for week one. I don't know if I will, but I got a feeling I might bet every game. I'm just so excited for it. I've been like trying to not look at the lines too much, but just from consuming other media and seeing what people are talking about, I feel like I have a pretty good idea of what I kind of like and don't like already. But yeah, we'll do the deep dive into it next week. We've made it. It's football season. Let's get hype. We'll see you guys next time.